It's good to see all of you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Now, before I actually start to preach, I want to just talk a little bit about some things. This has been a tough year. How many think it's been a tough year? Anybody else agree with me on that? This is a tough year now. I have never seen it quite like this, of course. Neither have you. And we right now have a number of our own folks very, very sick. Our preacher is sick. Many of the deacons are sick. And the leadership, a lot are sick. School problems with sickness. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Think the devil's fighting in our day? I honestly think the devil's fighting to discourage us as saints of God. I really do. Now, I have a lot of great friends, and boy, I tell you what, they have been taking care of me and loving me and giving me things. Larry Shagnon came by the other day and said, "I got a gift for you, preacher." And you know Larry Shagnon, right? Everybody knows who Larry is. If you'll put on the screen, Don, for me, that scripture verse I ask you to put up there before I start, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He made me a plaque. Now, how in the world do you get all that stuff on a plaque? You know, the plaque's only like about that big. And so he said, "I'm going to get you a plaque, preacher, and I'm going to bring it to your house. When are you going to be home?" And so I told him, and he brought the plaque. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. It shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's a powerful verse, amen? I thought, how in the world is he going to describe all that on a wooden plaque? Well, he shortened it up a little bit. But what he did was awesome. It really was awesome. And it's a beautiful plaque. And I told him before I started preaching, I said, "Now, Larry, I'm going to mention you. And so I don't want you to be offended by that." "Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, mention me. Go ahead." It's free advertisement. I talked to Eric. Now, don't get me wrong. I try to talk to people before I preach if I'm going to use their name. Eric's my neighbor. Eric and his wife, great neighbors, and we love Crystal and Eric. And I said, "Eric, during my message tonight, I may use you. Is that okay if I use your name?" And he told me, "Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. That's not really an advertisement." But, you know, it's been a tough year, tough times, and it has been very, very difficult. And my wife is home tonight. She's been sick all day. And she doesn't have the COVID as far as we know, but she is ill. And Lynette's such a good little nurse. She goes and gets Mama all kinds of stuff, natural stuff that we can put in our bodies and feel better, you know. And so she's home taking the natural medications. And hopefully she'll be a little bit better here in a day or so. That woman's got more energy than four women, so now she's slowing down just a little bit. I can finally breathe. Amen. Our scripture verse is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Don't you like that verse? So mine's a Christmas message this evening. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, the loveliest thing about the Christmas story, think about this if you will, please, is not the simple faith of the shepherds, nor is it the magnificent songs of the angels, but the fact that when the wise men found that baby Jesus, they did something. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. Look what they did. Anybody, do you know what they did? Here's the magnificent truth of the Christmas story. The fact when these wise men finally found the baby Jesus. They fell to their knees. Is that correct? And they worshiped him. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, was born to rule. Oh, I know we have a lot of messages that we preach about Jesus was born to die. But I'm here to report to you this evening, and all those folks in radio land and all those folks in the internet, Jesus was born to rule. Amen, he really was. The angels announced it. to the shepherds, and the wise men recognized his lordship. He was literally the Son of God, as well as the Son of Man. It was very fitting, I think, that at his royal birth, there should have been, and there was, heralded, that birth was by bright gleams of heavenly glory. Man, it's all right. I love the Christmas season, don't you? Hey, can I ask you a question? You like all the lights and the trees and so on and so forth? I remember the first tree I ever tried to put in our church here. Nobody had ever had a tree in our church because they thought it was sacrilegious. Nobody. I put a tree up. And somebody went to that tree in the old auditorium. I didn't even put it in the auditorium. I was scared to death that somebody would beat me up. I put it in the hallway as you entered the church. And I found them there down by that tree going like this one day when I walked in the, And I said, what in the world are you doing? And they said, well, we finally got a tree to worship. I'm worshiping the tree. Of course, it was all fun and games, and they were making fun. They weren't serious. They weren't mad at me. And ever since then, we've had a tree in the church. In fact, some years we've had 8 or 10 trees. I mean, if we're going to go liberal, man, you might as well go liberal. All the way. To me, that's some of the silliest stuff. You worry about tinsel on the tree. You could preach a whole sermon about the tree, you know. You know, you can preach about these little red bulbs. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, you can. What about the white righteousness of the Lord Jesus? And on and on and on you can go and talk about the tree. Listen, I think everybody ought to enjoy Christmas. You know, the whole world says they do, but they don't even know what they're rejoicing about. But we ought to be able to rejoice and magnify, have the beautiful flowers, decorate the church, because it is the Lord's birth. It's okay. It's magnificent. No matter, however, where you turn in the New Testament, you are confronted with an indisputable fact that Jesus is Lord. If I had only one statement at this Christmas season, one sentence that I could utter, it would be the confession. Jesus is Lord. Can I look at you and you look back at me? Is that the truth? Is Jesus really the Lord? Is He the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes, He is. Thank you for agreeing with that. But look how we are confronted with the Lordship at the first Christmas. Go back now to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel announced it to the shepherds that the one born in Bethlehem was the Savior. And then it said in that verse number 11, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I want you to see a couple of things right here. And you can write them down if you'd like. It's my first point. I want you to see the Christmas provision. You've heard this over and over again, but I really like it myself. You see, this provision was literally a Savior. It has been well said over and over again that the greatest need, if it had been for information, God would have given us an educator. We have said those kind of words over and over again. If it was that our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. That wasn't the greatest need. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But we didn't need money. Our greatest need, ladies and gentlemen, and the greatest need then is still the greatest need today, is salvation and forgiveness. Oh, how our world needs salvation, and how you and I need to operate in forgiveness and love. Notice, secondly, from that little verse, the Christmas profession. What is the profession that we need to understand? The profession really is Jesus is Lord. Now, I dare say that many people would say that they believe in His Lordship. But I'm going to tell you right now, very few people who say they believe in Jesus are living in the light of that truth. that He is Lord. The question then we have is, have you crowned Him? Members of the Harvest Baptist Temple, have you crowned Him as Lord of your life? Now here's where the question came from Brother Eric. In Matthew chapter 7, Don's going to get that on the screen, verse 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Are you getting? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, listen, this is what Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. Not everyone. And here was the verse that Eric questioned me about. Said, preacher, someday can you explain this to me? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he, now get it, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. One of the reasons you need to study this Bible and read this Bible and go to a Bible-believing church is to find out what indeed is the will of God. Because you've got to have the will of God. I've got to know the will of God because I've got to do the will of God. If I don't do the will of God, I'm not going to heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, here it is, prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. There are people who are so deceived and think they're doing such a great job. And I go to this church and I'm just powerful and I have so many things, but they're not doing the will of God. And then will I profess unto them, I knew you once. I don't know. That's not what he said. He said, then I'm going to profess. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. But hold it, we went to church. We did many marvelous works in thy name. But you didn't do the will of God. You'd had your own little show. And my goodness, there's churches everywhere having their own little shows. And they're not doing the will of God. Just because we go to church doesn't mean we're saved. Just because we got baptized in the baptismal pool doesn't mean we got saved. You've got to make Him the Lord of your life. Is Jesus Lord of your life? In all the areas of your life? You know, is He Lord of your tongue? What do you let your tongue say? Do you realize that as Christians, when we get saved, one of the things we're supposed to do is to lay aside certain things and pick up other things of the Holy Spirit? Put aside, lay aside all that filthy conversation. Lay aside. And there's just tons of stuff in the Scriptures over and over telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And He said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together in the house of the Lord. He doesn't say that. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It doesn't say in the house of the Lord. I said that. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, we don't go to church, but we're Christians. We don't assemble with anybody. What? Are you listening? Is He Lord? Is He Lord of your tongue? What are you talking about? What kind of language you use? Is He Lord of your tongue? I'm just asking. Is he Lord of your thoughts? Not when you're with a bunch of people, but when you're by yourself. When you feel a little discouraged or depressed. Is he Lord of your time? Do you have time for the Lord? What about this one? Is he Lord of your temper? I'm so mad. Hold it. Is he Lord of your temper? Come on, amen. Help me out here, everybody. Hey, we're just all friends. You can say amen, right? I'm not preaching at you. I am preaching at us. And I'm trying to help the congregation of the Harvest Baptist Temple and those who are watching and those who are listening who may be members of other churches. Listen, let's get the real thing. The Christmas story is all about Jesus and making Him the Lord. He is the Lord. What about, is He Lord of your treasure? Why do you really work? To buy a house, buy a car, pay your utilities? Or do you work because I want to give to God? I want to give to the kingdom financially. You know, I'd like to see our church here paid off one of these days very soon. Wouldn't it be good if we had a little fun, and we do, where we can put money in and maybe help pay it off quicker? Wouldn't that be great? You know, that overtime hours you work, maybe some of that ought to go to the building fund. Get it paid off. I can say that now. I'm not pastoring. I wanted to say it all for 44 years. But seriously, what do we do? I mean, why are we working? Is he Lord of our treasure? Well, I'm going to buy this really nice car, and I don't have any money for God. No. He's Lord of your treasure. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, just real quickly. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That is an amazing verse. You know, so many people say they're Christians, but we don't look any more like Christ than the day we got saved. We get born again. And that born again situation is once and for all. Amen? Preach with me now. It's once and for all. I'm saved and born again, and it's for eternity. But he said, I travail with you again. In birth. I want to see something birth. I want to see Christ formed in you. You know when a little baby is a little embryo and developing in his mother's womb, that little baby, you don't even know the baby is there for a while. And then when mama starts to show a little bit, you say, oh, you're expecting? And what's happening is the little baby inside is starting to develop little hands and little fingers and little feet and legs and starting to grow. And so it's starting to grow. When you get saved, listen, everybody. When you get saved, you're not supposed to say, I'm just saved. You're supposed to now get born again. I don't mean get salvation again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about developing in the Lord, what the book of Galatians actually says. Let's look at it one more time. Chapter 4, verse number 19. Where's that? I lost it. There it is. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. What's going on? I want Christ formed in you. Did not God teach us that when we get saved, that we're to be more like Him every single day? He's going to change us from glory to glory to glory. Why is it that somebody who's been saved for 50 years in a church is just like he just got saved? He misses church. He doesn't pay tithes. He doesn't do anything for God. My goodness, when you get saved, you're supposed to grow in your faith and do something for God. My little children, I just am in such pain. I travail in birth again until Christ is actually formed in you. It takes a while for Christ to be formed in you. It doesn't happen overnight. How you doing? Is Jesus Lord? You know, the angels' declaration on that Christmas night, it's one we all have to recognize and deal with. The Christ of Christmas is Lord of all creation. And He is Lord, I'm telling you, of His people. Go to Acts chapter number 2, verse 36. Have you crowned him? Have you crowned Jesus as Lord in your life and in your family? You see, we talked about the Christmas provision, the Christmas profession. And number 3, have you crowned Jesus as Lord of your life? What's that verse say there in Acts again? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both, watch what it says, Lord and Christ. Is he Lord? Is he Lord? Number 4, are you gladly, freely, and openly confessing him as Lord? Are you gladly, freely, and openly confessing him as Lord? In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the angel said in that announcement of Jesus' birth was good tidings. Look at it there on the screen, of great joy, which shall be to all people. God wants the message to go all around the world. Come on, amen. That's why we love our radio station. It goes all over the world. Somebody in Romania may be listening to me right now. Somebody in Russia. Hey, that's what the church is supposed to do. That's a wonderful ministry we have. You see, the Lordship of Jesus is what separates the real crowds at Christmas. Anybody can get a little sentimental about a little baby in a cradle. And make no mistake about it, thank God for that song, Sweet Little Jesus Boy. However, Jesus is not a sweet little innocent boy now. The Bible's emphasis is not on Jesus the infant, but on Jesus the Lord. Think about it. But that same worldly crowd that's standing in our churches or out at the fairgrounds or wherever singing Christmas carols, everything's depleted almost this year, but that same crowd is going to sing Christmas carols. There'll be a bunch of drunken individuals singing Auld Lang Syne in just a few days as the new year comes in and the old year passes. They do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, in Bible times, to openly confess Jesus really meant something. For a Jew to say that Jesus was Lord meant that he was Jehovah God, the eternal, self-existing God of the Old Testament. The Jews held God's name in such reverence. I've read about this over and over again, that they wouldn't even pronounce it. The scribes, when they were copying scriptures, would pick up a new pen just to write the word Lord. They wouldn't use the old pen. They'd pick up a new pen. For a Jew to confess Jesus as Lord meant paying a price, being excluded from the nation of Israel. But this was the truth that Peter declared to Israel in his great message on the day of Pentecost. Gentiles had to pay a price too for that confession. It was deemed to be treason against Caesar. If you made Jesus Lord, then you were against Caesar. It cost early Christians persecution, sometimes death, to confess Jesus as Lord. So I wonder this Christmas season, is Jesus your Lord? Do you see him as God? Do you confess him as Lord no matter what the cost? God doesn't want prominence in your life. He wants the preeminence in your life. I'm not sure we got that across to everybody. He wants the preeminence. Now prepare to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 back there, please. I want to show some of the wonderful things that believing and confessing Jesus as Lord will do for you. We might call them Christmas presents. The wonderful things that Jesus will do for you when you confess him as Lord. They'll never disappoint you, these presents won't. And they'll never have to be exchanged or returned. They're great Christmas presents. You might want to just write these down or think about them. The first thing that believing and confessing Christ will do is seal your salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that's why Paul is talking about there, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very clear, if Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Wow, that's tough. Today we hear people say, you've accepted Christ as Savior. What about make him Lord? But let me say it again. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, he's really not your Savior. Christ is not divided, you see. The late preacher who I really love to read after Dr. Vance Havner, he said it this way. Salvation is not a cafeteria line in which we say, I have a little saviorhood today, but no lordship, please. You can't have saviorhood without lordship. He's the King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, or he's nothing. The Christmas message is so plain. The word from heaven was clear. The baby of Bethlehem was and is the Lord of the universe. The wise men who came so far to bow before him, present their gifts, were acknowledging him as the sovereign Lord. The angels sang and rejoiced at the glad announcement that the Lord had been born. Even the thief on the cross, next to Jesus, confessed his lordship and pleaded for the salvation when he cried in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Can anybody tell me what happened in verse 43? Jesus instantly said something. And Jesus said unto him, what did he say? Verily I say unto thee, today, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a wonderful truth. The good news of the Christmas story is that when you call on Jesus and say, Lord, save me, he saves you. He says to you today, it's done. Salvation is by grace through faith, and it is immediate and total. I'm just about finished, but let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Number one, he seals our salvation. I love this one. Number two, it silences the devil. Silences the devil. When I accept the wonderful things about believing and confessing Jesus as Lord, I learned that it silences Satan. Boy, I'd like to shut him up. We'd like to shut the devil up. How Satan hopes that you, yourself tonight, will not learn to believe and confess in Christ. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What's the testimony? That same sentence I started out with a long time ago. Simply this, Jesus is Lord. You know, Satan's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of you. Satan's not afraid of the church. But he is afraid of God. He's not afraid of you and me, but is terrified by our testimony about our connection with God. Satan is literally conquered. Listen, Satan is always conquered by confession. Our confession. When you take the name of Jesus and boldly fling it at the face of the devil, he cowers. Listen, I have had so oftentimes, so many times in my ministry of 50-some years, I've had so many times when we've actually thrown the Word of God at the devil and said, get out of here. And it, ladies and gentlemen, he cowers and he goes. So many of us in our generation right now, we're so weak and we're so mamsy-pamsy that we just aren't doing what we ought to do. Get the Word of God and throw it in the face of the devil and say, listen, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of my family and get out of my life. And he trembles. Not because of you, but because of God. That's why Satan tried to destroy Jesus as a little baby. The devil knew full well that that little baby in Bethlehem, he knew who he was. Satan tried to kill the baby before he ever got started because he knew that the manger of Bethlehem held his defeat. Confessing Jesus as Lord not only seals salvation and silences the devil, but number three, it strengthens the saints. Do you want to be a strong Christian? All my life, I've always wanted to be a strong Christian. Somebody could stand up, face whatever, stick with it, never quit. I've always felt like that. All my life, just, you're not going to stop me. I'm not going to give in. I don't care who comes against me, I'm going to stand. You feel like that yourself? I hope you do. You need to. Stand for Christ. I think you begin by openly confessing that Jesus is your Lord. Do it. He's my Lord. If you really want faith to be strong, and you put your faith in your mouth, begin to articulate it. You'll find, I think, that your faith will begin to grow. The more you assert something, now you know this works, the more you talk about something, assert something, the stronger in power in your life it becomes. And the more you talk about doubt, and the more you talk about fear, and the more you talk about frustration, guess what? The more fear and frustration you have. This whole COVID thing's driving me crazy. Does it drive anybody else crazy? I know it's real. But man, we talk about it way too much. When we talk about the faith of God and the strength of God, God's more than able to take care of us and more than able to give us victory. Man, our God's great. Is our God the greatest power in the universe? Yes or no? Yes, He is. Well, then let's act like it. Let's come to church not all down the mouth. Let's come to church and say, oh, glory. Hey, what kind of week did you have, brother? Well, I had a bad COVID week. Oh, come on. Let's talk about something else. Yeah, I get sick too. We're all human. But isn't there a God that loves us? Certainly there is. Articulate it. Confessing Jesus increases your love for Him. I really believe that with all my heart. The more you talk about it, the better. Acts 16:31. We're talking about the benefits and the blessings of believing and confessing the Christ of Christmas as Lord. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. One of the most powerful and crystal clear verses in all the New Testament is that verse. Who was that? Who said that? Anybody know? The Philippian jailer. Right? I mean, this is the story about the Philippian jailer, right? In Acts chapter 16. The jailer at Philippi. What happened? Paul was in prison, correct? Was Silas there with him? Was it Paul and Silas? Yeah, it was. Come on, help me. Yeah. And they were in jail, and they were singing. And then they were arrested, and then something happened. Did the jail shake? Oh, yeah, Jack said, oh, yeah. Yeah, it did, yeah, I say it did. Did the stuff come off? Was the jailer asleep? Did he wake up? Yeah. And when he woke up, he looked up and he... Now, if a jailer loses his prisoners, he's going to die. Right? Man, this guy looks up and the place has been shaken. And I'm telling you, he looks up and the prison doors are flashing open. He doesn't see anybody for a while. And he gets a sword and he gets ready to kill himself because he knows he's going to die anyway. Come on. And Paul, from the prison, said, do thyself, no, he knew what he was going to do. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Wow. Wow. Maybe COVID-19 can be beat like that. By just believing God. Come on, amen. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Now listen, I got to talk about this jailer. What was he doing? You suppose he was trembling? I kind of think in my mind, I don't know, maybe he wasn't, I don't know. But I think he was probably trembling a little bit, scared to death and thought he was going to die. And I'm telling you right now, he did not want a theological trusting. He didn't want some kind of theological story. He was trembling. It was in the middle of the night. His life was on the line. And all he wanted to know was how to be saved. Can you tell me? Can you tell me? Hey, the world is saying, can you tell me? What do you mean by being saved? Can you tell me? Well, we got this long list of stuff. Let me get my cell phone and let me help. They don't want to know all that stuff. They just want to know, how can I be saved? You know what Paul did? Paul cut through all the jargon to give the essence of the gospel. That's what he did. Now, we can't all be preachers. I understand that. But we can all be reachers. Come on, help me out. We can't all be preachers, but we can all be, say the word reachers, so the people on radio land can hear you. We cannot all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. I can reach somebody for Jesus. Huh. We can be testifiers. We're rubbing shoulders with people every single day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every believer would just share the gospel one time and see somebody saved? Wouldn't that be great? When believers are bold in their witness for Christ, history can actually be changed. The Apostle Paul is the best example of that. He not only shook up things at Philippi, but he and his fellow servants also turned the whole Roman world upside down. Do you remember that revolutionary that happened in Romania? It was about the time, this is an interesting story, it's a true story, I got to tell you the story. It's a neat story. Time to remember the, how many of you remember when the communist Iron Curtain fell? Remember that? Wasn't that awesome? I'm telling you, that to me was awesome. Well, in Romania, it's a true story, we learned what happened there was not a political revolution, but a spiritual revolution. It started with a pastor who had been told he couldn't preach freely anymore about Jesus. So one day, this pastor got on his knees and he went to God in prayer and he prayed and he said, God told him, just be bold and I'll take care of it. Well, I don't know how you hear all that, but that's what he said. Just be bold, I'll take care of it. And so, he kept preaching. And he called a few of his other believers around him and they said, live or die, we're going to live for God. We're going to continue church. We're going to do it no matter what. Well, the communist soldiers heard that. The chiefs heard that and sent soldiers there to his house. Came right to the house to arrest him and take him away. But before they could get to the door, that preacher came out unflinching and said, we're going to worship the Lord. Jesus is Lord. And then a bunch of his congregation came and stood between the soldiers and the preacher. And then to everybody's amazement, townspeople began to come, and they said there were thousands of people that stood between the soldiers and the preacher. Now, I'm telling you, to me, that I read that story and I thought to myself, man, more people came and more people came. And then they all shouted something. I'm going to have you do it for me in just a minute. Get ready. Come on. Best voice you got. They said as they stood there, this is exciting stuff to me. You know, what's wrong with us? We need to get a little excited about things. And those people said, He is Lord! He is Lord! He is Lord! They hollered over and over again at those soldiers. He is Lord! There is a God. There is a God. Ready? Here we go. Say, there is a God first. Everybody ready? Come on. Loud and clear, as if you were some of those people between the soldiers and the preacher. Just say, there is a God. There is a God. I want to hear without me saying it. See how you sound. Come on. Loud and clear. Everybody. Come on. Teenagers, everybody. Ready? Here we go. Oh, amen. Boy, that'll get you all riled up. What about this one? Jesus is Lord. Ready? Here we go. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Are we going to come to a point like that in America? You never know. And boy, this stuff with the vaccine and all that sounds more and more like a mark of the beast to me. Well, it's not the mark of the beast. I understand that. But if they can do this and make everybody do it, what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes and says either you'll do this or you'll die? We better start thinking where we're at. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm going up in that first resurrection. How many of you know that song? Nobody, I didn't think so. I'm going up with the Lord. They'll be coming from the east. They'll be coming from the west, coming from the north. They'll be coming from the south. Well, I'm going up with the Lord. Amen. It's about time to get ready. I'm telling you, I think it's getting close. Unbelievable days that we're living in. Let's not be intimidated into silence. Let's be bold in making the glad Christmas confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. I know it's 7 o'clock, 7:04. I'm sorry, but I haven't preached for a while. I got about 6 more minutes. Can you bear it that long? Are you enjoying everything tonight? Are you enjoying everything? I'll just sit there and endure it then. Thank you. I know you are. I got an idea. You know, we constantly are praying for people that are lost. I thought about a neat plan. I'll just give it to you. Do what you want with it. I'm not going to check up on you at all. But you know, you get Christmas cards every year, don't you? I'm the world's worst at sending any card to anybody. I'm terrible. So don't expect one, okay? I'm sorry. You can stop sending them to me if you want. I love it when I get them, but I feel bad when I got to get them a card. The time I think about it, it's January 2nd. So anyway, those Christmas cards you get. Now, you'll get cards from family, you'll get cards from Christian friends, but then you'll get cards from other people who are not saved. Isn't this a neat idea? I just thought about this. I studied last night and this morning. I thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat if I get a card this year from somebody that I do not know whether they're saved or not. I'm going to put it on my kitchen table. And when my wife and I pray, I'm going to pray for at least one or two of those people every time we eat. We'll hold hands, because we hold hands anyway when we pray. Say, Lord, bless our food. I'm going to say, dear God, I want you to save that person. In 2021, would you save them? Would you help them understand what it means to be a Christian? Would you help them understand what it means to make Jesus Lord? I don't know if you got them down, but maybe the fellows will have them all together. Save sinners. That's a powerful situation. Maybe you could take that little idea and maybe somebody would get saved. Last, letter E, simplifies our service. This is one more blessing. We hear a lot these days about, and I do and you do too, I'm going to start cutting back. I'm going to trim my schedule. I'm going to simplify my life. You know, if you want to simplify your life, just ask two questions that Paul asked on the road to Damascus. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 5, and we'll also look at verse 6. What were those two questions that he asked? Do you remember that? What did Paul ask on the road to Damascus? And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 6, what did he ask? And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, here it is. What would thou have me do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do." Consider also, just for a moment, Mary herself. The advice she gave to the servants at the wedding of Cana. Do you remember the advice she gave in John chapter 2? Anybody have any idea in verse number 5 what she said? His mother saith unto the servants, what did she say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. That's what she said. Can you see how following Jesus is really, you can simplify your service? You simply say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then you do whatever he tells you. Philippians chapter 2, my last verse. No, I got two more. Sorry. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That text reminds us that someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. For many, however, it's going to be too late. For many, it's just going to be too late. Let's forget about not working, and let's not forget about those who have never bowed a knee. People all around you have never bowed a knee. Let's not forget them. This Christmas, we need to go to them and boldly, with all the friendliness we can, and talk about the greatest news anybody could ever hear. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the wonderful news I have for you is simply this. Ladies, would you come and get joy to the world? Note some wonderful things that believing and confessing Jesus as Lord will do. Do you remember the first one? What are some wonderful things that believing and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord will do for you? Anybody know what the first one was? Shout it out to me. Seals your salvation. There it is on the screen. Number two, say it with me, everybody, loud and clear. I don't know about you, but I would love to silence Satan every single day. Amen? It silences Satan. Number three, what's it do? Strengthens the saints. Letter D. Save sinners. And letter E. Simplifies our spirit.